listening to the EVs for Everyone podcast. My name is Elena Ciccatelli, an award-winning automotive executive, and I'm so excited to introduce you to some of the most dynamic thought leaders the EV economy has to offer. Listen in on honest conversations I have with the leading electric vehicle experts and uncover critical insights that will help you jump ahead and stay there. The electrification race is officially on, and these conversations have never been more important. So whether you're an automotive executive or just an EV enthusiast, this is the podcast for you. Let's get started. Dan Seedy from Norm Reeves Car Group. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
It's going to be a fantastic conversation. Casey, SVP from Rudd Buggy, how are you?
Yes, doing great. Glad to be here in Cary outside of Raleigh. This has been a good conference so far. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Different pieces of the EV puzzle. Auto transport sometimes is like a little bit overlooked. That's why I wanted to kind of get this group of folks together to start talking about it. So before we get into it, Dan, I want to talk about your background a little bit.
Okay, well, I've been in automotive for about 22 years. I spent the first 15 years of my career with CarMax Auto Superstores. Was involved in helping the business grow in Southern California. And so a lot of exposure to high volume car buying and selling, a lot of logistical, that was my first 15 years. I've been with the car group for the past 7 years and at all different capacities in the sales and variable side. Past 2 years, I've been a director of variable operations for the group, and I'll soon be transitioning back into store leadership and store management. So,
All right. So
that's my story.
Casey, over to you. Really quick Cliff Notes version of your background in automotive.
Sure.
Do it.
Sure. Also Southern California. I grew up in Oregon, but my whole professional career with automotive has been in the LA area, 10 years with Toyota Financial Services, 5 years after that with Westlake Financial Services. So both ends of the credit spectrum.
Right.
But in both roles, a lot of exposure to what happens in that remarketing value chain, whether it's repossessions or lease terminations and transporting that car. Always a problem. People don't think about it until they have to.
Until they have to, right, exactly. So Dan, from your perspective, from the dealer perspective, walk me through, is there anything different between transporting an ICE vehicle and an EV? Because I've heard both sides.
From a transportation perspective and getting a car from one place to the next, really there hasn't been any difference. What I would say that you have to consider is, one thing that you don't think about when you have an electric car is making sure it's charged, right?
Right.
So that's created some unique logistical challenges for us when, you go pick up a car and it's not charged, it's not ready to go. So those are some things you have to think of. But aside from that, I really haven't seen any limitations with EV. Obviously we're going to talk about like the weight and, that might be a factor for some of the truck drivers, but with us, no. I feel like it's the same logistical process for us.
Casey, from your perspective, what are you seeing on your side? Like, you're day in and day out moving all types of vehicles, obviously ICE and EV.
Sure. Yeah.
You came in prepared with this spreadsheet. I was ready to
pulled
see.
Some data.
I know. I saw the spreadsheet. I was like, Casey, okay, this is good. So talk me through a little bit more on the differences on the weight. There is difference in weight,
sure.
But I was surprised by what you found.
Yeah, I mean, first, I want to echo everything Dan said. It's not that much of a jump. It's not that much of a leap. Yes, there are different aspects to an EV that need to be considered. And, every day for the last couple of years, some transporter out in the U.S. has had his or her first time transporting one of these.
Yep.
And it's like, whoa, what do I do here? Once they've done it once or twice, they get all of the all the slight differences figured out. But pulling some data, what we looked at was the overall curb weight of the top 25 SUVs, plus a few other trucks and things we pulled in there. And just looking at the Tesla Model Y, people think of an EV, a heavy car, 4,400 pounds. A Honda CR-V is 3,900 pounds. So we're only talking 500 pounds difference. And that's a really small, compact SUV, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, there are some Rivians that are in the 7,000 pound range, but they're not that much heavier than, say, a BMW X5.
Right.
So these ICE vehicles have a much broader range of weights, these internal combustion engines, because cars are heavier.
Mm-hmm.
Cars have more content. Cars are more expensive. The market has changed. So transporters have been making this adjustment to like this bigger, heavier vehicle for a long time. And so I think, honestly, it's not going to be an enormous difference. We can get at all other kinds of stuff, like where's the charging cable? Is it charged? Will this thing catch fire? We've got data on that, too.
So yeah. Anyway, I'll what were you saying, Dan?
The key, I mean, you know, like the Tesla's a little card key. And,
right.
You know, and, you know, there might be instances. It's new technology for people. So, you know, the user interface is a little foreign to most people if they're not used to being in an EV car. You know, the key is different in a lot of the cars. You know, Ioniq 5, you get into that car and there is no push button start, you just get in and go. Whereas, you know, the same with Tesla, whereas some cars you actually hit a button to turn the car on and go. So, you know, so there's some unfamiliarity with how to operate some of these cars, which for somebody who's used to transporting an ICE vehicle, where you put the key in and start it and you hear the, you know, the rev of the engine, you know, that doesn't happen with an EV. So
that kind of brings us to story time. One of my favorite parts of the show. So I need some real world examples. I need some like examples in the wild from your point of view, Dan, and then from your point of view, Casey. Like, talk me through if there was an instance. I'll start with Dan. If there was an instance at one of your stores where you're like, oh man, I want to get X, Y, and Z EV vehicle. Maybe you are acquiring it, or you're in the reverse, you're maybe need to ship it out to a customer. What was that experience like? Was there any hiccups? Was there, I don't know, I'm not really like digging for drama, but maybe I'm digging for drama. I don't know.
Yeah. I can speak specifically to one example where we bought a Tesla Model 3 at an auction, and the local transporter was a two-leg transport, so they had to drive the car to one facility, and then they were going to put it on a truck and then bring it over. Well, the car didn't have a charge.
Oh, here we go.
So it's a Tesla, and you can't charge that car without having access to,
right,
you know, the app.
Yes.
And, you know, unless you're going to a Tesla charger, you're going to need an adapter. So,
right.
You know, so all of these things happened in trying to get that car to us, and it was a little bit of a fiasco and obviously very frustrating from the transporter's perspective to get this car to us. But it's just things like that occur with, you know, like we say, with new technology and being unfamiliar with, you know, it's not like going to the gas station and putting a couple gallons of gas in. It's
right.
A little bit more tricky than that. They ended up having to sign up, you know, create a Tesla account and get the app and get to a supercharger. And, you know, we had just enough to do that. But it was, I mean, a lot of extra time. And I think we did compensate them a little more for the haul as a result of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But see, so these are the types of things, like when you're in the trenches and you're dealing with this on a daily basis, like this probably doesn't come to the forefront, like unless you're in it and dealing with it. So from your perspective, Casey, would love to kind of hear, like, from the other end of the spectrum.
I want to start off by saying we've worked with every single one of the EV makers, those that are new startup type companies or who have been fewer than 20 years of existence.
Right.
And the traditional OEMs who've been making ICE vehicles for their history and are now coming out with EVs. So in both cases, there's a lot of things that may need to be done to the car. For instance, after transport to a railhead or a seaport, they may need a software update over the air. So they call that flashing it or you know, doing the install. Often it has to happen at the port or some third facility, to where they take the vehicle and they let it sit, and then that charging time is another issue. Is it an hour? Is it longer? And so each one of these is an endless series of questions that need to be answered to get the car ready to come to the customer. Those makers who have a dealer network to lean on are in a fantastic state, because they can lean on you and your cohorts, Dan, to help with that. It is much, much harder when you don't have that shock absorber of your dealer network to help with these problems.
Exactly.
So we have seen firsthand quite a few of those issues get really hairy.
Yeah.
And we have to change the address where we're picking up the car, and that's fine with us. We're being serenaded.
No, no, it's fine. I think we've died and gone to heaven. We're hearing the angels sing over here. I almost think of it like the Wizard of Oz, right? You got to pull back the curtain a little bit and see what is truly like happening behind the curtain there.
The infrastructure seems to be lagging the release of the cars, or at least it has been.
Yeah.
But with you know, a critical mass, the infrastructure is going to catch up.
Yeah, no, totally. And then anecdotally, tomorrow I am going to be driving a Bolt from Virginia to Jersey. I was telling Dan the story. So to be continued on the saga of driving a non-Tesla through multiple states. But yeah, go for it, Dan.
I think the market is very efficient. It finds opportunities.
Yes, there you go. There you go.
Obviously, us as dealers, we're always looking for that opportunity to find our little honey hole.
That's it. Yes.
You know, and usually when people are fearful of something, eventually that creates buying opportunities, and it, you know, gives you a little bit of time to exploit something that maybe everybody else isn't exploiting. Mm. I have a feeling that, you know, EV, there's going to be those opportunities. In fact, we've already found some of them with the recent depreciation in the market. And I think we're just going to find opportunities, and, you know, the technology will continue to expand and the adoption rate will continue to increase. And as a result of that, we'll continue to buy and resell these cars and, you know, try to have some success with that.
No, absolutely. But again, I cannot stress enough. It's like we are already on this trajectory, right? And I think I might get the stat wrong, but I know Alan from AIM did a presentation this morning, and he was saying 173 new models coming down the pipeline, a new product pipeline, 158 are BEV, EV. So it's on the line here. It's here. Last very serious question. I touched on this a little bit in my panel this morning. Favorite James Bond movie and or favorite James Bond actor of all time?
Okay, I'll go with that one. Casino Royale. And it has to be Daniel Craig, and I've seen the movie 1,000 times, and I still enjoy it every time.
That's a good pick. Yes.
People have their opinions on this.
Yes.
For me, it's Roger Moore. It's View to a Kill, the opening ski scene, and then the whole movie. Quite frankly, it was the first James Bond I ever saw in the theater. I'll never forget that movie.
Well, see, you know what though, Roger Moore, he is an like
the funny one.
Yeah. Yes. No, that's right. He is the funny one. No, Daniel Craig, also a good pick. I'm going to have to go more Sean Connery. I don't know. This has been amazing. Thank you for indulging me in the last very silly question that had nothing to do with EVs or transport. Next, I'll ask the question about gadgets or, auto transport gadgets. We won't get into that. That's another episode. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Casey. This is awesome. Thank you so much for listening to the EVs for Everyone podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and subscribe to the show and leave a 5-star review with a comment. We read every single comment, so thank you in advance. If you have an idea for an upcoming episode or you would like to be a guest on the show, go to evs4everyone.com/contact. That's evs4everyone.com/contact. Until next time, keep charging forward. Word.